You're tuned to the Book Club here on KTEP, and joining us today on the Book Club is a good friend of the station's, good friend of ours, Mr. David Smith Soto. David is the author of the recently released Havana Hallelujah. It's a novel that, well, I don't want to get into it just yet, but we're going to kind of take a little trip with Jonas Harding, and he is a reporter slash photographer, and we'll talk a little bit about all of that. But first, we want to thank David for joining us. David, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Louie. I'm delighted.
Now, I introduced you as a close friend of the station's, a close friend of mine, and you are, but I didn't talk a little bit about your credentials because you recently retired as a professor here at the University of Texas at El Paso. You, along with your wife, Sita Rocha, also a professor here at UTEP, KTEP. And one of the things that, when I've interviewed you before, we talked a lot about some of your projects, some of the things you've done in the past. And so before we start talking about the novel, I want to talk a little bit about yourself. David, have you always been interested in writing and photography?
Well, yeah, from a very young age. I was born in Costa Rica, although my dad was a gringo. And from a very early age, he taught me photography. He put a camera in my hands when I was like 5 or 6 years old. And I was always fascinated with writing literature and books. Matter of fact, when I was a kid in Costa Rica, I used to skip school and bury myself in the American Library in San Jose to read novels. My favorites were the Westerns. I think I read Catcher in the Rye when I was like 10 or 12 years old because I thought it was a baseball novel. So, yeah, I've always been interested in photography and writing, and that's what I've done my entire life in one way or another.
Interesting that you mentioned, you know, that you were interested in the Westerns. And of course, as kids, I remember, you know, watching all those shows on TV and movies and, you know, having a six-gun strapped to my waist and my belt and playing cowboys all the time. But is there something specifically that drew you to Westerns?
Well, I loved the whole idea of the American West. But when I was a kid in Costa Rica, there was no television, okay? There were no Westerns. Once in a while, we got to go to a movie. But the only way to get into the adventures was to read, and I was a voracious reader.
And when did you leave Costa Rica and come to the States?
Well, I guess I was about 14. It was 1958. My dad was a lawyer. He was working at an international organization called the Inter-American Institute for Agricultural Sciences in Turrialba, Costa Rica. And then he got a job with the Organization of American States in Washington. So we moved the whole family to Washington, D.C. In 58.
As we get ready to, well, we've already started the new year, but there's going to be a new president sworn in on the 20th. And I remember you telling me a story about how when you were younger, you took pictures of the JFK, inauguration.
Yes. I was in high school. See, that was 1960, right?
Yes.
So I was like a freshman in high school, and my buddy Mike Mitchell and I would roam the streets of Washington, D.C. taking pictures. That inauguration day was memorable because there was an enormous snowstorm. And, man, we froze to death trekking to find that inaugural parade. And we finally got there and went up to our favorite camera shop, and from the second floor we photographed the parade. All of my photographs were underexposed because I took a light reading off the snow, so I don't have a single picture of that event.
Would you be able to fix that with today's technology?
Absolutely, I would have, except that I was angry and I threw them all away.
But those pictures are fresh in your mind, though. You remember them very well.
Never forget them. It was an extraordinary event. I mean, I remember seeing Kennedy and Eisenhower. Kennedy was walking without a hat, and it was cold, and everybody remarked, the man's not wearing a hat.
We're visiting with David Smith Soto. David has recently released a novel called Havana Hallelujah. Before we go on to the novel, we're talking about photography, and a few years back, you came up with a display. I think it opened up in Taos. We've saw some pictures here on campus as well, and it was called Street Photography. What is street photography, David?
It's become a genre of its own. I think going back to the 50s, many famous photographers did this kind of photography. It's using life in the street as it happens. You walk around, you photograph people doing what they normally do. And the juxtaposition of daily life with people encountering each other and shopping and markets in a certain photograph, it can look even surrealistic. But it shows the essential nature of people when they're not thinking about being photographed and just being themselves. It's basically a people kind of photography. In Cuba, I've taken photographs of kids in the street a lot, playing soccer, vendors, old cars, whatever happens to be in the street. But the juxtaposition of the elements in a photograph is what makes it special. In other words, just one photograph of the street is not what we're talking about. We're talking about people in a certain instant getting into a position or a relationship that is expressed in a still photograph in a way that nothing else can do it. A video would be totally meaningless of that, for example.
You and your wife, Sita, have returned to Havana. Sita is Cuban-born, but you've gone there, taken students there as part of some of the classes that we offer here at UTEP. And tell us a little bit about perhaps some of the things that people don't know or would understand about Cuba, because when we hear Cuba, the first thing we think of is sometimes we think of Fidel Castro, we think of the cigars, we think of rum. But some of the things that you showed the students, for example, you talked a little bit about pictures of old cars. A lot of the cars in Cuba are old. They would be considered classics here in the United States.
Yeah, they would be. What happened in Cuba is that with the Fidel Castro Revolution and the United States embargo on the country, which is still going on, Cuba shuttered itself down, or it was shuttered by the United States, so that when you go to Havana today, it's like going into a time warp. You're suddenly in the 1950s. The country, the city has changed very little physically because they've never had the resources for major urban renewals. So everything looks the way it did 50, 60 years ago. So it's a fascinating step back in time. The Cuban people haven't changed very much. They're still wonderful. Like are most Latin American people and people all over the world. You meet them in the street. Politics doesn't have anything to do with it. They're just human beings and usually very friendly and even loving. So it's a nice way to meet people in a strange, time-warped environment. Also, if you get to talk with the students, we usually set up conferences with government officials and artists, people who can tell you something about the nature of the country as it is today. The other thing is that from the political science point of view, it's a laboratory to see a country that is still Marxist, Leninist, communist in operation. I believe it's the only one in the world that functions like that. So it's an extraordinary learning experience for students. And as soon as this coronavirus thing is over, Zita and I are going right back there with a bunch of them.
We're visiting with David Smith Soto. David is the author of the recently released novel, Havana Hallelujah. And as David has been talking about Cuba, we learned a little bit more about the country in his book, Havana Hallelujah. But we learn a little bit about different parts of the world. And it starts off in the United States, in Virginia. I'm going to kind of set it up a little bit. David, the book follows a photojournalist Jonas Harding, and he is working in Virginia. And when we open up in the book, he has just finished covering auto accidents. But from there, we just kind of follow Jonas all over the place. And my question is, Jonas Harding is a Costa Rican-born photographer, reporter, and so are you. So is this kind of based a little bit about your adventures?
Yes, the novel is autobiographical. And I believe most fiction is autobiographical. In my case, everything in the novel is based upon my own experience in one way or another. Now, the conclusion of each section, each scene, is not necessarily what happened in real life. In fiction, you have the liberty to create a work of art which tells a story, a universal truth, if it's successful, that cannot be told, say, in a memoir or an autobiography. So you have the luxury in writing a fictional account that you can take the elements that you know are true from your own experience and weave them into a tapestry that creates art, which by definition means it's not real. It's artificial. But if it's not based on some kind of reality, I would never know where to start.
We learn about Jonas, and he gets offered a job. They tell him that there's an opening for a photo half man. And when I read that, I said, well, I wonder what that is. And I'm sure that Jonas in the book wondered the same thing. So you want to share with us what that is? Photo half man?
Yeah. Yes. That was an actual interview that I had when I applied for work at the Winchester Evening Star in Winchester, Virginia, which was my first job as a journalist. And of course, the story in the book takes place in a city called Ashby, Virginia, which I modeled on Winchester. I went and I interviewed with the editor. Jack Davis was his name. He was a former Associated Press reporter, editor, and was the executive editor of the newspaper, The Star. And he said, I need a photo half man. And I said, what the hell is that? He said, well, I want you to be half photographer and half sports writer. That's why you're the photo half man. And I cannot afford to have a full-time photographer or a full-time sports writer added to the staff. So you would start as that. And I said, wonderful, I take it.
But at the time, you were doing the work of two people, really.
Yes, of course. And it was nonstop. It was an afternoon paper, so we went to press like at noon. I had to get up very early in the morning, and I went to sleep very late at night. It was a very hard job. That's where I learned journalism, and the 5 years I was there were the best years of my professional job as a journalist. They were wonderful. Later on, when I went to work on a larger newspaper, corporate journalism stepped in, and I was never as happy as I was during those first 5 years.
We're visiting with David Smith Soto. David is the author of the recent novel, Havana Hallelujah. Now, David, when the book opens, as I mentioned, Jonas gets offered the job of being a photo half man, but then he's also caught up in the fact that, well, he meets a lot of characters throughout the novel. But at the very beginning, one of the things that puzzles him is why they can't find a burial place for this man who is African-American.
Yes, exactly. The character, just like myself, lands in this town, which is in Northern Virginia. But even though it's in Northern Virginia, it's in the Shenandoah Valley, and it's the Deep South, psychologically and philosophically and historically. The actual town of Winchester changed hands in a civil war like 50 times, back and forth. So it's steeped in that. The story takes place in the 70s, but the world of that city in the 70s is really the 40s and 50s. So the problem with the black man who was killed in a car accident is that that they will not allow him to be buried in the cemetery there. And then the story progresses. There is a cemetery for what they call colored in those days, but it's all full. the colored people don't have any way to expand, and they don't want to have a stranger buried where they would have to give up one of their places, one of their spots. So as the story develops, the man can never get buried. And so the reporter follows the story from event to event, and then he comes to a moment of decision, which is really the theme of the entire novel, and that is, when do you stop being an observer and a witness and a reporter and actually need to take some kind of action to fix an injustice? And so in each one of the encounters that the protagonist's story takes, he's faced with a moment of, well, who am I? What am I doing? What is the meaning of being a journalist? Am I really telling the story as it is? Or he questions even the meaning of the word truth. Who can really tell what's going on? Journalism is set up as a series of formulas that are followed as a reporter covers an event or writes a story. And frequently, the true nature of what's going on is impossible to tell within those formulas. So throughout the book, the protagonist is faced with, am I going to be the static reporter, or am I going to take political action? So it all begins there, and the first chapter in Virginia gives me the opportunity as a writer to tell something about the nature of the man as a reporter, then, because he's learning the business. Then in the second chapter, he's already in the large newspaper and sent to Central America sometime later to begin covering a different type of story. And of course, he lands first in the country where he was born. And again, it gives me the opportunity to develop the protagonist, to develop the character, to give some history and context to why he is and who he is, why he is the way that he is. But it's essentially the story following the reporter, photographer, throughout these different encounters with life, politics, violence, and until it comes to a conclusion.
And from
I will let you find out when you read the book.
From the very beginning, we learn, and at least when I read it, I said to myself, "Well, this could be happening right now. This could be contemporary time right now, because the issue with the black man not being able to be buried in a cemetery, and the question that really stayed in my mind as well is when Jonas asks, well." Can Jews be buried there? And he says, no. Yes, they can, but not if he's colored.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a lot of prejudice back then in the South, and there still is.
We're visiting with David Smith Soto. David is the author of the recent novel, Havana Hallelujah. You already took us to Costa Rica, but as we mentioned, Jonas takes a little bit of an adventure, as you do, take us with your pen. And we have Virginia, then Costa Rica, then Guatemala, Havana, and Miami. If you wouldn't mind kind of carrying us through the trip.
Yeah, absolutely. So the assignment that the reporter is on starts in Costa Rica, because the idea is to cover a story that takes place throughout Central America, political and economic. And but then a person who's in contact before, a friend of the family in Guatemala, is the target of an assassination attempt. So he changes the perspective of why he is in Central America and begins digging into what's going on in Guatemala. Guatemala is a fascinating country. I've always loved it, but it is plagued with what appears to be a permanent state of genocide against the indigenous population. And so the core of the novel has to do with what happens to a village of Mayan field workers, ordinary people who still live like they did hundreds of years ago. And they are massacred by the Guatemalan army. So the reporter's job is to go investigate that. And as he does that, he stirs up a hornet's nest that doesn't end until much later in Miami, Florida, which is the seat of the newspaper that he works for. Why is it called Havana Hallelujah? Because it's in that event in Guatemala where he meets a Cuban infiltrator who is organizing guerrillas to fight against the Guatemalan army. And that becomes the core of the story. The beginning of the novel really is to introduce the protagonist and all of the conflicts that he has with him as he tries to perform his job. But then when he meets the Cuban infiltrator, agitator, leader of guerrillas, that's where the heart and soul of the story takes place.
When did you decide, because you mentioned that this is autobiographical, and I know that you had mentioned before that you were writing a book. At what point, David, did you decide, I need to write a novel and I need to make sure that this is all portrayed exactly the way that I lived it?
Well, I think most journalists and writers think about doing a novel. I always had, but I never had the time until I retired from corporate life in my 60s. I came to UTEP, and I found out that there was a Master of Fine Arts program in creative writing, and it was bilingual creative writing, which was my specialty. So I met Lex Wilford and Johnny Payne in that program. I did it for 3 years, got my Master of Fine Arts degree, and while I was doing it, I began writing this novel, chapter by chapter. I always knew I was going to. I think the first time I met Johnny Payne when I applied to be allowed into the Master of Fine Arts program, I said to him, I have one novel in me and I have to get it out. And he was delighted. So that was really the real moment of, you know, when I committed myself to doing it. But all along, every event in my life produced the story that I kind of filed back there in the back of my mind and decided that one day I would use it to write some fiction.
We are visiting with David Smith Soto. David is a retired photojournalist, retired professor, and the name of his latest novel is Havana Hallelujah. Now, David, I know that because of the times that we're in, it's difficult for us to get together, to be with people. But is there a time where perhaps you're planning to share the book with others and perhaps talk about it and even, you know, sell copies and sign?
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as the coronavirus pandemic is over and allows freedom, I intend to do all of those things. But in the meantime, the book is on Amazon and is available to purchase either electronically or hard copy. I've used Facebook to do a little bit of advertising so that people get to know that the book is out there. But for me personally, having finished it and published it was the main thing. It was like, in Spanish we call it a reto that I had, a challenge that I had given myself to finish the story. And I did. The title of the book, Havana Hallelujah, is also, aside from the events in Guatemala, is also critical. And all of that takes place in Miami, where I worked for the Miami Herald as a reporter and editor for 10 years.
Tell us a little bit about the cover. It's color, beautiful, but very striking.
Yeah, the foliage that you see in the covers from a photograph that I took in Tikal, Guatemala, which is a site of amazing pre-Columbian ruins and restored temples. The image in the center, which appears to be a face of an ape, is really a photograph of a pot at the Anthropological Museum in Mexico City. I was there in January, and I photographed some of the pots and other artwork there. I wasn't thinking of it at the time as a possible cover for my novel. I just liked the way it looked. But later, when I was talking with the gentleman, Roger Fidler, who was designing the cover, I said to him, I like this concept of the foliage, which is really Guatemalan, that I can attest to because I took the photograph. And then we'll put a pre-Columbian image there, which represents the agony of the Mayan people, which is what the reporter runs into. So a section of the book is all about the trek of the reporter with the Guatemalan soldiers up the mountain, where they eventually find the site of the massacre. And so it symbolizes all of that. I think it gives a sense of the terror that lies ahead in the jungle.
David, we touched a little bit earlier on your street photography. So if people go to the Facebook page that you mentioned, will they be able to see some of those pictures as well?
Yes. Yes, they can go to Old Camera Photographs by David Smith Soto. And also online, all you have to do is Google my name, David Smith Soto, and you will see photographs and articles about the various exhibits of photography, and we'll be able to see some of them. I don't have a specific website, but I'm connected to Adobe and other outlets where I have portfolios that can be seen by anybody. It's a question of Googling it. But I do have a specific page, photographs, Old Camera, David Smith Soto Photographs. That's on Facebook, and I have some photos there.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today. We've been visiting with David Smith Soto. David's novel is Havana Hallelujah, and as David mentioned, you can find out more information by going to Old Camera Facebook. You can also go to the Amazon page, and you can find Havana Hallelujah. David, again, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure, Louis. Always. Take care.
The Book Club is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Sam Cassiano. You've been tuned to The Book Club. I'm Louis Sines.